Are you ready for the word this morning? Have you come flat as a battery or have you come excited? Pastor, we've had such a busy week, you know, I've been so busy. Listen, you've come to the right place this morning. The church needs God's fire. The church needs a touch. Even if it's just me this morning, I need a touch from God. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. Let me get started. I got so much to say. You know, your pastor has made notes and notes and notes and notes and notes this whole week. Don't know how I'm going to get through everything. Come tonight, please. Come this evening. We will continue. This is part one. This evening is part two. I want to talk to you this morning on Pentecost, the flint, the flame, and the fire. So allow the Holy Spirit to move you, to shift you this morning into a different place, a new place. Amen. You know, even if Jesus was here today and people were negative, cynical, critical, judgmental, passive, even Jesus could not perform a miracle here this morning. Unless there are people that are hungry, that say, here I am, God, I want to know you more. So allow me to preach the word this morning and to charge the atmosphere with you so that we can see what God wants to do. Is that okay? It's Pentecost. Okay. I'm not trying to fabricate anything here, but one thing you know is the Holy Spirit, eyes not seen, ears not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has in store for us, but He reveals it to us by the Spirit. So there's already a direction the Holy Spirit's shown your pastor on how the service must flow and how it must end. I've already been to the end of the service. You say, how's that possible? Because the Holy Spirit is out of time. When I was preparing, I could see how the Holy Spirit wants to move in the service. I've seen the end by the Holy Spirit. So we have to be excited. We have to be expectant. We have to allow God to touch you this morning. Our God is real. So allow the preaching of the word and faith and the teaching and the illustrations this morning to stir your faith so God can do what He needs to do here. So the church was birthed in power. Pentecost was the day the church was birthed. They were gathered up in the upper room, 120 of them. They were 500. Some of them left. Sometimes the people who start out with you are not going to be the ones who end up with you. You just have to make peace with that. As much as what you want everybody to come with you, not everybody is going to come with you. It just is. As much as what God wanted everybody to possess the promised land, not everybody entered the promised land. As much as what God wanted the 500 to receive the Holy Spirit and to be touched and to have been part of that plan of taking the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and the utmost parts of the earth, there were only 120. Sometimes there's a fizzling out. There's they call it an apostasy. People's faith wither. They wane. People get distracted. They get hurt. They get offended. That's why this morning I want you to understand, you should say, Lord, don't pass me by. So the church was birthed in power. And I'll share my testimony about Pentecost and the Holy Ghost. Many of you have your own Pentecost story. It maybe didn't happen 2,000 years ago because you weren't even born. But in every believer, you have a Pentecost experience, or you have the potential to have your own Pentecost experience. I grew up a religious person. Thank God for my parents. They took me to church, but I wasn't born again. I had a form of godliness, but I wasn't saved. I had no power. I call myself a Christian. I read my Bible, but if I was honest with myself, I wasn't a Christian, a true Christian. If I align my actions with what God's word says, I was a sinner. And then I got saved. Hallelujah, for salvation. The blood of Jesus. I recognized that I was a sinner. God's goodness was revealed to my life, that even though I was a sinner, I turned my back on God, yet He kept on displaying grace and mercy like He does to us and He does to every person on the planet. He's a gracious, merciful, loving, kind God. And when we experience His goodness, it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And I repented, asked for forgiveness, and I asked Jesus into my heart. And thankfully, I was surrounded by a lot of people who had experienced and knew what water baptism meant, the power of it. They didn't play games. They weren't just treating the word of God casually. They talked about water baptism, challenged us on a regular basis. That's why I challenge every person. If you call yourself a Christian and you're born again and you haven't been water baptized, you are disobedient to the word of God. And I'm not saying this as an attitude of judgment or criticism, but I want to encourage you. The Bible says you must, just like you have to be born again, you must be baptized underwater. Not as a baby. If you've been kleindoopt or christened like I was, there's nothing wrong with it. That's fine, but you need to be baptized now. You have to be baptized. I've seen the power of it. I understand the principle and why Jesus told us to get baptized. So I have this baptism, and now all of a sudden I'm this Christian, I'm saved, I've got water baptism. And now I start to hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know there was such a thing. And I started inquiring, and I started to speak to people in the church where I was. And I never knock any church. Thank God for every church in the city that operates. We need more churches, not more bars. We need more churches in our country. Amen. We need more pastors. Amen. The government is trying to regulate and control through the CRL Commission. If you're not aware of it, you need to listen up. The state is trying, there's a move by Satan to control and manipulate the church, to put its foot on the church. Right while we are speaking, there is an agenda and a demonic spirit. It may look nice in the natural, it might make sense, and we understand that certain churches and pastors have spiritually abused congregations. We're not denying that, but let the law take its play. Let's bring in the law. We don't need to govern the church. Amen. The state can't determine who's the pastor. You agree with me? You don't want to have that. That's not from God. So we have to fight back. And your pastor and Pastor Art, and I've seen many other churches in this country are getting to a place where we're saying, "Hi corner, dis nou genoeg. You do your part, we do our part. The church can govern the church. If there's a pastor who's got doom and he's spraying people, bring them to the pastors in the community. We'll sort them out. We'll chase that devil out of the city. Amen. We don't need the government to decide if this guy is a flake or not. There are enough credible, righteous Christians and pastors in us, in our country. You don't have to demonize the church or the pastors because of a handful of weird people. If there's one lawyer who's a shark, that doesn't make all the lawyers sharks. Amen. If there's one corrupt politician, that doesn't make all the politicians now corrupt. But you have to be alert, on our watch. There's an agenda. There's a move by Satan to put his foot on the church in our nation. And it's time the church says, this is enough. This is nonsense. The CRL Commission. Google it. It's not from God. Why can I say that? Because I have the Holy Ghost. We know what is truth. So I'm this Christian. I'm baptized in the water. But I knew there was more. I knew there was more. I knew there was more. And everybody I'm talking to is saying, it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. You don't need the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to pray in tongues. It's not for everybody. But I knew that I was lacking a fire. I was lacking a witness. I wasn't passionate. Couldn't raise my hands. I was still a little bit intimidated by people. And then I began to do my own scripture reading. And then God brought me to the right people. Amen. The right tribe. We are Pentecostals. I was sitting as a young Christian, saved, baptized in the Kimberley Diamond Bible School, by the way. This is 1999 or 2000. 2000, in Kimberley, in town. It was an interdenominational Bible school. And the first, and we were going through all the books of the Bible. And I'm sitting there as a young believer. I'm hungry. I want to get to know the Bible. And then a pastor came and did. Each different church would send a pastor who'd come and teach two books of the Bible. So the first two books were Genesis and Exodus, and I enjoyed it. It was very nice. And then there was this man, he wasn't even a pastor. He had to teach on Leviticus and Numbers. And I thought to myself, this is going to be interesting, because if you've read Leviticus and Numbers, it's a very boring book. I'd like to see this. And this man, he wasn't even a pastor. He was a businessman, normal man like you and me, comes up and he starts teaching the Bible, and I'm sitting there hanging on his lips. He's making it sense. He's taken the dead letter and he's brought life into it. There was something different about him. I'll tell you what was different, because he made a statement. He said, the Holy Spirit baptism is for everybody. Every Christian should pray in tongues. Now, I didn't believe it. And there was the administrator of the Bible school. It was an elderly lady. She sat at the back. And as the gentleman said, the Holy Spirit is for everybody, that everybody can speak in tongues. This lady in the back, she stood up with this angry, like a principal or like a real upset granny, and said, it's not true. It's not for everybody. And even though I was on her side, I thought maybe she actually does need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She's a little Norse. Pastor, you say, baptized in lemon juice. The rest of the session went well, and I'm getting revelation here. I'm like, how on earth did this guy read that? I read the same Bible, but he's getting a total different version. And he's explaining it well. And I left that day confused. And I figured out I've got to get hold of this person. Went to see him. I said, please talk to me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe it's for everybody. I've done my 6-month study. I'm an accountant auditor. I've done my due diligence. I've spoken to many people. And I made a question. I had this piece of paper. I had like 35 questions. I went down to, and I was going to go see him. And I had a coffee with him. And he just started to speak to me. And every single question that I had. At one stage, I thought he was looking at my questions. He spoke for 2 hours nonstop. Answering every question. I thought, how did this guy know this? Led by the Holy Ghost. Baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, don't go before you receive the Holy Spirit. What was happening? God was correcting my doctrine. My inner belief. Today, you will not persuade me otherwise. I believe in salvation. I believe in the power of water baptism. But I also believe in the baptism of the fire of the Holy Ghost. The infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. It's part of my testimony. You know my story? I couldn't say 2 words in front of a public crowd. I was a stutterer. But the day I got filled with the Holy Ghost, it was like what Jesus said, rivers of living water shall pour out of your belly. It's a river that will never run dry. Sometimes we run out of words. We do not know what to pray, but the Bible says in Romans 8 verse 26, it says, but the Holy Spirit will help you to pray. There's a power, there's a river, there's a force. Come on this morning on Pentecost, that you and I have the ability to unleash in our lives. And this is what the world needs. A cold world needs a church that is on fire. There are many people like I was. We don't know the Bible. We know a little bit about Christianity. God is waiting for the sons and the daughters of God to be led by the Holy Ghost and to move with power, as God is about to release a wave, a second wave of love to hit this religious city and to shake the foundations and bring the fire of God to the school, to the community, and to the public. I got my own testimony. You got your own testimony. But it helped us forge, helped us formulate our core belief. This is what I believe. Dit is wat ek glo. You're not gonna persuade me. You can come with your theory, but I've lived this. I've seen it works. There's power in the Holy Ghost. What do you believe? Now the Bible says you must do your own finding out. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1, it speaks about laying the foundation of your fundamentals, your foundational doctrine. As a young Christian, you have to find your foundational truths. You must speak to us as pastors, as a church. Come speak to us. If you've never laid the right foundation, that's why if you're not baptized, you haven't laid a foundation in your Christianity. If you don't know that you're going to stand before God one day and give an account of your life, it's called an eternal judgment. You need these foundations, these first principles. I don't have time to preach it on a Sunday. That's part of your discipleship journey. You need a foundation, a fundasi, so that God can build a house. So my foundation is the doctrine of baptisms. Hebrews 6, not one baptism, multiple baptisms. I know it. I have a core value. It's my belief system. I believe in tongues. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in order. I believe in testing the Spirit. I believe in testing it with the Word of God. But you are not going to shake me, just like God, just like others are not going to shake you, because it's been laid. Am I right? The Bible says, no, you can't go lay it down again. I don't change my doctrine every 3 weeks. I can maybe change the way I viewed something, one area of truth, but my doctrine is established. It's settled. And I've seen it work. A lot of Christians don't take time out to know what they believe. Some of you don't even know that you're in a Pentecostal church. Some of you don't even know that you're charismatic. Maybe one of you. So what do you believe? What you believe, you shouldn't be ashamed of. Why are you ashamed of the Holy Ghost? Are you a Peter? Let me tell you, Peter, before his name was Peter, his name was Simon. He was like a reed, tossed to and fro. He didn't have a backbone. He didn't have a belief system. He was just following Jesus. But he got saved. And he was on the day of Pentecost. He was the preacher that stood up with fire. And he said, let me tell you people something. The same Peter that denied Jesus 3 times before the cock crowed, that same one, something changed in him. He got filled with the Holy Ghost in the upper room. He was one of the 120 people that tarried, that remained in the upper room and said, I am going to wait till I receive the fire and the promise of the Holy Spirit. And authority kicked in, power kicked in. He was no longer ashamed of the gospel. And he stood up and he did the first service and he did an altar call. Guess how many people got saved? 3,000. That's not bad. Why do you think we built a 3,000 seat here in Kimberley? Oh, Pastor, 3,000 is too big. Hello. They didn't even have technology like we have. So that's my journey. A few months later, I went back to the church where I grew up. I sat there. I said, Lord, please just confirm in your word. Show me that I haven't lost the plot yet. Speak to me, Lord. And I'm going to share it in a moment. Acts chapter 19. The Holy Spirit, I heard him tell me, go to Acts 19. And I'll share it with you in a moment. But first I want to talk to you about why we need Pentecost. Why do we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? So can I get my illustration up here quickly, please? I'm going to show you a very simple illustration. Here they come. We call to be a conductor. Thank you. Conductor. Maybe you didn't do science or electricity at school. But one thing I've learned, now I hope everybody can see. Please put it on the camera that everyone can see. You get non-conductors and you get conductors. So Yari's a light bulb and Yari's wire, and at the back you can't see it, is a battery. And the battery is the power. And the battery wants to flow through you and me, a conductor, like a conduit. And I take this wire and I'm touching. Oh my word, what's going on? Nothing is happening. What's happening? There you are. There you are. God wants you to shine. You're created by God. He's the manufacturer. As a Christian, God's plan and destiny for your life is to shine your light. Jesus said it, part of your, you are never going to fulfill God's plan and His purpose with your life. A light bulb that has not been connected to the power is going to go through his whole life questioning. She's going to try her best to say, what is the purpose of my life? That's why you have atheists, agnostics, you have people who search for everything else because they've never been plugged into the power. It's like a light bulb. The light bulb is trying to be a philosopher. The light bulb is trying to be something that the light bulb was never created to be. You are meant by God to be light. Jesus said, I'm the light of this world. I've not come to judge. I've come to bring light. And yes, the light unfortunately exposes darkness. But God never came to judge the world. John 3 verse 16, 17 and 18. So we need to be conductors. We can clearly see in that example, there's a problem there. There's a break. Maybe there's plastic in this cable. Maybe it's wood. I want to tell you, your conductor, you're either a conductor of God's power or you're not a conductor of His power. If you're not a conductor of His power, it's probably one, you're either not saved, you're not a Christian, you don't believe in God. Or number two, your doctrine, like me, I didn't believe in the power of God. I just believed in salvation and water baptism. But thank God, through the Word of God and through doctrinal teaching and through the power of the Holy Ghost and the witness and seeing, because I would read my Bible and I'd see the church, I read my Bible and say, but there's a gap here. So God wants you. Oh Jesus, please work now. God wants you to be a conductor. Amen. There we go. God wants you to be switched on. Switched on to the power. Plugged in. Plugged into the Holy Ghost. Before you go into this world as a Christian, wait. Ons moet jou aanskakel. Die Here moet jou aanskakel. God must switch you on. He must flip the switch of the power of the Holy Ghost. Now everything makes sense. We are no longer walking in darkness, stumbling through life. The Word of God all of a sudden is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. I can read the Word. I can understand Leviticus. I can understand Deuteronomy. I can understand every Bible word written in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, because the letter kills, but the Spirit of God gives life. Too many Christians unplugged. Wrong doctrine. No power. We know power in this country. Thank God we don't have load shedding anymore. Hallelujah. You then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Ghost, to whom those who ask? Holy Spirit, we welcome you to touch those who haven't been baptized yet and to refill and to revive those of us who have been touched. Fill us again, Lord. Help us to be a conductor. Help us to shine our lights. Help us to get plugged into the source. Help us not to be dead and offended and bitter and get cut off from the power and the source of God. Hallelujah. Your doctrine is important. If you don't believe it, you won't get it. You need God's power. Acts chapter 1 verse 4. Please put the scripture up. The Bible says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. See, don't go into the world with a bulb that's not switched on. You need to be switched on. You need a flame. You need a flint that can spark and that you can be plugged in. I'm going to talk about that. He says, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But you shall receive power. Come on, say it with me. Say power. Afrikaans says it nice. Krach. Say krach or say power. No, come on, say it like you mean it. Say power. You shall receive power. Power to power up the electricity. Power up the light. That light bulb that's not shining means pretty much nothing. Amen. Christian is not empowered should wait and tarry like I had to for 6 months. I was on a journey. Lord, baptize me. I want to, Lord, baptize me with fire. I knew I needed something else to become a witness. People don't witness. People are too embarrassed, too shy, too afraid. They keep quiet. They hide their Christianity like that cold light bulb. You don't change a light bulb while it's plugged in. Have you done that mistake? Changing the light bulb, it goes on, it's hot. Light brings heat. Heat brings confrontation. Hot. It's getting hot in here. Some of you are getting a bit uncomfortable. But that's okay. That's what brings change. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. A witness. It doesn't say you shall be a preacher. It doesn't say you'll come into full-time ministry. It says, no, you'll be a witness. Like that businessman who came to Bible school. He didn't need a qualification. All he needed was the Holy Ghost to come and teach. And he was a witness of God, a witness of the Holy Spirit. He had a witness of life that had changed in him. Who he was no longer. He was a new person. This is helping some of you. Some of you come to church like myself. And we're asking, is there more? Yes, there's more. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. Power and witness. So back to the conductor. Everyone has the ability to be the light of the world, to shine our lights. But if we're not plugged into the power and we're not a conductor, we are powerless Christians. Powerless Christians. God in His wisdom did not leave the church powerless. We are not defeated. We are not weak. We have power. We have Holy Ghost power. That word power in the original Greek is dunamis, which where the word dynamite comes from. You have explosive power. If we don't have the power, we won't overcome. If we don't have the power, we won't witness. We will be cold. We won't take charge or take authority over circumstances and allow government rules to get passed in our nation, and we'll just sit there and worry and be passive. But if you have power, you can say no. You'll just become religious. Have you heard that, Christian? Just leave me alone, I have my God. Christianity is very personal. Yes, it's personal, but it's public as well. The light bulb is public. The light's not just for you, it's for other people as well. Shine your light. Jesus says it throughout the Bible. Shine your light so others can see. No, Pastor, my Christianity is it's a private matter. No, it's not. Yes, God is personal and He's private in your life. He's not going to expose your private sins. But you need to be switched on because there are people who need to see the light. There's nothing private only about Christianity. It's a public. Jesus didn't die privately. He died publicly. When you get baptized, you don't just you and that person who baptizes you privately. You invite your friends, your family. You make a public spectacle about your baptism. You tell people about Jesus. You don't keep Him to yourself. If you keep Him to yourself, maybe you're not plugged into the power. Or maybe you once were. And today, hallelujah, on Pentecost, I'm just preaching to stir you up. Your fire, your light's going to shine again. Whoop, that's the wrong plug. See, sometimes they come in sheep, in wolves. Wolves in sheep clothing. You look like a Christian. She looks like a Christian. She talks like a Christian. But there's no power. There's no witness. It's a problem. Rather fix it now. Rather change now. Because God has so much that He wants to do for you. Come on. This is going to set some of you free today. Hallelujah. Come on, you're called to shine your light, Christian. Flip the switch. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank Jesus. I thank God. I reverence the Holy Spirit. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost. He's part of the Trinity. He's part of the triune Godhead. Don't be ashamed of the Holy Ghost. Never blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Reverence, respect, acknowledge the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to be more in your life. Jesus is in heaven, the Father's in heaven, but the Spirit of God is here today. He's all around us. You ignore a person, guess what? They're going to leave. You need to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the power, when you face a battle, you're going to fold. But with God's power, you can be a witness. You can overcome fear. You can experience breakthrough. You can push things forward. You can speak the truth. You can confront lies. You can step out in faith. You can expand. You can enlarge God's kingdom. You can be a tool in God's hand. You can make the enemy shiver because you woke up. You're a blood-washed, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Bible-believing Christian. Called to drive out the enemies in the promised land. To share our testimony. To claim God's covenant promises. The fire of God will keep you in the race. God knew many would fall out of the race. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. To keep us pliable. To keep us convicted. We mess up. If we get bitter, we get offended. Take some time off. Get your heart right. Deal with it. Guard your heart with all diligence. Don't trust in your heart. You trust in your heart. The heart is deceitful above everything else. And believe God. The fire will keep you in the race. Will keep you coming. Will get the quit out of you. The fire of God will keep you moving forward. The fire will burn in your heart. Will get you out of bed. Come to church. If you're watching online this morning, maybe you should have been here. Some of us, we've lost our fire. We've lost our fire. We're going through the motions. We're looking at the calendar. We're looking at the economy. We're looking at stuff in the natural. Thank God for everything. But I want you to know, God this morning, today, He wants to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh here today. Fill you again. Contact point. Bump your neighbor, say, power. Too many are running on empty. The petrol, you know that light thing? Most ladies know it. I'm just joking. Not my wife. My wife just gives me the keys. The car's empty, fill it up. No, I'm joking. I do it anyway. Because I'm a gentleman. Too many Christians are running on empty. You once were filled. You once touched the power. But the light bulb is doing this. You know that. There's a problem here. We need to flow freely. We need the power to flow through you. The power of God. We need reform in the culture of our day. We're called to change. If you don't bring change, if you're not on fire, you will be conformed. People will make decisions for you and your children. And you'll have to sit there and suck it up. But if you're the light, you can bring change, positive change, godly change. We're not called to be conformed to the image and the pattern of this world. We're called to transform and reform. When there's rocket fuel under that spaceship, it's because the spaceship is going somewhere. God wants to give you fire so that you can go somewhere, that you can witness to that religious crowd. that you can break through those barriers of resistance and tradition and actually touch their heart. Break through those addictions. Break through that power of hatred, that the wave of love can touch people's lives. You can testify of God's goodness. That's what the fire is there to do. It's to propel you forward so that you can be a witness. But if you haven't touched the fire, if you haven't received the fire, you won't know what we're talking about. Rocket fuel is there to help you. The fire of God yet today is help us to fill this building. There should be no reason why we can't fill this building. To see 3,000, to go to two services. We need the fire. Because we get shy, we forget, we get busy. But the fire of God, once you're touched by the fire. Listen, you tell children don't touch the fire and they don't listen. Till they touch the fire, okay, no virtuele, they mustn't touch the fire. As a young man, I was always inquired. I was interested in electricity. And I went and I touched two wires. And I felt the power flow through me. And that day I learned, don't touch the wire. That's why for babies, those of you who have kids, you got to put that plug thing that blocks the from putting their fingers in there. Because that fire can be, that power can be dangerous. The fire of God can be dangerous if it's not harnessed. But the purpose of it is so we can become witnesses. That we can become overcomers. That we can stand on God's word. We can drive out the enemy and see the promises of God. And claim it and prophesy and stand. I'm going to talk about that. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul carried such a power and anointing of God on his life that the Bible says his shadow, even when it touched people, they got healed. He would pray for people, he would pray for handkerchiefs. They would take the handkerchief, go lay it on a sick person, that sick person got healed. Hallelujah. Why? Why? Was he great? Was he somebody special? No, I'll tell you why. He was just somebody who was plugged into the power. Maybe you called to be a healer. Maybe you called to be an evangelist. I don't know, but until you're plugged into the power, you're never going to know. You're never going to become the man or the woman of God that he's called you to be. Got to get your doctrine right. No power, no boldness. If you don't have that boldness, that becomes a formula, a rhyme, a little rhyme that you rattle off. But there's no power, there's no results. Mark 7 verse 13, Jesus said, thus you nullify the word of God by the traditions you have handed down. And you do so in many such matters. He was explaining that your tradition, your culture can stop the flow of God. It can become the actual non-conductor, your culture, your tradition, your hand-me-downs. We all know hand-me-downs. You got clothes from your older brother, clothes from your older sister, clothes from older people, hand-me-downs, traditions get passed on. No, this is what we believe. Oh, okay, thank you. And you teach it to your kids. This is what we believe. It's a hand-me-down culture. It's a hand-me-down tradition. This is what we believe Christianity is. Never taken the time to actually believe. What do you believe? I'm not asking what your parents put on you or taught you. What do you believe? Don't let your culture, your tradition. You can chat with my mother who sits in the second row here. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I started to pray in tongues and it was a little bit much for her. But she could see the results. She could see her son understood the Bible. I was doing what that businessman was teaching to me. I was starting to teach to her. My mom said, the way you explain it makes sense. I want what you have. You can ask her. Traditions get brought down. I had to find it out myself. The Bible says your tradition stops the flow. Nobody in my family, grandparents, there was a Christian, there was a praying grain that I had, thank God for that. But not everybody had this power and fire that was passed down. I had to find it out myself. We see it so often in this next young generation. The children get saved first. The children get baptized. The children get filled with the Holy Ghost and they bring their parents to church. We have many stories like that in this church. Many testimonies. God touches the young people. Touches them. Because they're just real. They can't fake it. They've never learned religion. They just know the truth. And they know the power. And they choose God. And their witness changes their parents, their grandparents, their families. You see it happen. So our tradition should not stop what God has for us. My grandfather didn't teach my father, who taught me about the Holy Spirit. I had to find it myself in the Word of God. Jesus said it's your tradition that stops the power of God. So let me share this. Our time is coming to an end. Yo, where did the time go? God wants you to be a firebrand. We don't need nice Christians. Nice. Everybody's nice. We need Christians on fire. We don't need nice Christians whose job is to get on with everybody and to be liked on Facebook. You with me? Don't change. Stick to the same music, please. We have very little discernment. We need Christians who are not just surface, who have depth, who have doctrine, who have truth, who've maybe had to battle a bit. Listen, let me tell you, I was as confused as a chameleon in a smarty box for a couple of weeks. My belief system got turned upside down. I got so challenged. I was so confronted with truth. All the things I had believed in my tradition, I got confronted with truth, and I had to seek truth for myself. Like many Muslims in this day and age today, they are finding Jesus, and they have this wrestle now between their culture, their tradition that has been passed on, and the truth. And they have to work it through, and many of them are willing to die for their truth because they know it's truth. And their family will reject them, will work them out immediately. Like many, we have people in our church, same story, where the family will just disown them because they made a stand for Jesus, because they got baptized. But God will be your source. You understand? We don't need nice Christians who just get along, who have very little discernment, not sure what they believe. They haven't thought through their doctrine. Shallow believers. You need some depth. You know what flint is? Flint. The title of our message is Flint, Flame, Fire. A flint is a hard stone. It's hard. When flint goes against steel, flint is harder. It eats and cuts into the steel little shavings that create a spark. That big lighter of yours is a good picture of what it's supposed to be. You're turning that circle. It's creating a spark. It's waiting for the flame to take place. You need to be a flint. You need to know what you believe. We don't need nice, soft, squishy. There's no fire with nice, soft. There's flint, hard. You know what you stand for. You have a backbone. You are convinced. You know that you know that you know that I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You are unashamed. You become a firebrand. God puts His fire stamp on you. I can work with this person. They've got a backbone. They're not wishy-washy, confused, double-minded. They've had to work through that confusion, and they've come out and they know what they believe in today. They know what they believe. They have a real faith, a genuine faith. You may be a young Christian and you're struggling with your belief. I want to encourage you, get your doctrine right. Study the first principles. Do our course online here at COC Kimberley. Dig out all the old traditions that were passed you down and get the truth, and you'll start seeing there'll come a flint in your backbone. There'll come a flint. God will make you shave on steel and there'll be fire. You'll become a fire starter. But nice is done with. The day and age that we're living in today, we don't need nice Christians. We need on fire believers. Pastor Henny used to say it when he was the preacher many years ago as a young Christian. I was learning, and he's still a preacher. But he used to tell us 20 years ago, the days are coming, Isaiah 60, where darkness is going to get darker. The world's going to get more evil. And we're seeing that now unfold in our day, real time. We're seeing how Satan is becoming unashamed of his schemes and plans. He's going public with evil. You watch the media. You watch what's happening all around the world. Satan is, he's unashamed. But just like the darkness is getting darker, hallelujah, praise God, this side. God is busy turning on the light. And maybe you started out at 6 watt. God wants to make you 100 watt. He wants your light to shine brighter. The days we are living in, lukewarmness, I don't know if you're going to make it. You need to be on fire. I'm saying this as your pastor, as Flint this morning. And I'm trusting that shavings are hitting you, and in a moment they're going to catch a light through the wind of the Holy Ghost. But listen to your pastor this morning. These are the days where lukewarm Christians will not last. You will fall out of the race. Luister vir julle pastoor vanoggend. God wants you to be on fire. That's why He gave us the Holy Ghost. All flesh qualifies. Because days are going to get darker and darker, and light's going to get brighter and brighter. The separation is going to get clearer and clearer and clearer. You listen to preachers today. Back in my day or years ago, they had to watch what they say on TV. Now they're outspoken. They're radical firebrands. And I'm saying this again, you don't have to be in the ministry to be on fire. You can be a businessman, you can be a sportsman, you can be a politician, you can be a teacher, a student, a parent, an engineer, an architect, a father, a grandfather. Some of you, in your latter years, the fire is going to fall and you're going to do more than what you've ever done for God. We don't need nice Christians who say yes to everything, who always play it safe, can't debate nothing. Come on, sister. Oh, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in this born-again stuff. I don't believe why we must be baptized. I don't know. I don't believe in altar calls. And you're sitting there and you're quiet. No fire. No fire. But if you're on fire and the light was shining, I'm not saying you're picking a fight, but it's impossible to sit in a conversation like that with critics who don't know better, and for you not to just engage. The early church, they engaged. They engaged. They touched society. There were people who were bold enough to speak up, like a Martin Luther in the 1600s, who said, this church doctrine is not right. And the church and the government said, Martin Luther, we're all against you. And he looked back and he said, well, God and I are against you. Hallelujah. Because if God is for you, it can be against you. Don't fan out the fire. Fan the flame. You need a view. You need an answer. Don't just come across like nice and liked. Oh, we just want to be liked. Oh, we just want to blend in. Those days are over. The ship has left. Don't be stranded on the shore. The ship is leaving. Spring now up. Get involved in the church. Ask the Lord to baptize you with fire. Because this church is called to shake certain places. And we can't do it by ourselves. We need each other. And more importantly, we need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Are you receiving something today? Come on, a true Christian has internal conviction. He has a belief that he or she can stand for. A doctrine, a teaching, a revelation, a conviction, a truth that they're willing to testify towards. Something you're willing to defend. Something you're willing to speak up about. Amen. Something you're willing to challenge somebody else on. Something you're willing to be tested on. Something you're willing to lose people's likes on. Some of you, you're going to have to just realize this. When you make a stand for God, you're going to lose certain friends. That's okay. God will give you better friends. Can't be popular and effective. Nice Christians want everyone to get along with. Peacekeepers, they're not peacemakers. But a true believer is baptized with fire. He knows, I have something to stand for. I can't just agree. I'm always agreeable. I just play the political game. Oh, you know, we must be politically correct, you know. In Christianity, there's no political correctness. There's the truth and there's a lie. There's a truth and there's a lie. If you're, I'm not saying we must be, if you're in politics, praise God. But make sure that you're first a Christian before you're a politician. Make sure you are a man of God, a woman of God before you or anything else. Amen. Are you getting this morning? While I'm preaching, I'm just trying to cast a spark. The Church of Pentecost were not nice Christians. They were radical. They were willing to die for what they believed. The church was on fire. They were firebrands. Bump your neighbor, say, you must be a firebrand. Yeah, he brought with you. He's talking to you. Firebrands are disruptive. They are engaged in a hostile environment. They expand, they forward, they enlarge the kingdom of God. They carry a holy message. They carry a torch of fire. Not a nice Christian who's walking around on eggshells, no, trying to be politically correct, speaking the right lingo that everybody wants to hear. No, we are not nice. We are effective. This is why the flint is important. To have a backbone, to be hard, stubborn for God. Making a stand so that the Holy Spirit can come upon you. Because a flint spark can lead to a flame. And the flame, once gathered together, can lead to a whole fire that burns. Jesus said it in Luke 12 verse 49. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ. I have come to set the world on fire. And I wish it was already burning. This is not that song, this girl is on fire. We're glad you can sing, but use your talent for God's kingdom. And get saved. Because if you're not saved, you're going to be on fire. And that's another fire that's not from God. That's a destructive fire. That's hell. Get on fire for Jesus. Be fireproof. The flint, the flame, the fire, the spark we so desperately need in our lives is the Holy Spirit. In our families, in our church, in our city, in our nation. The fire of Jesus burns a conviction, helps you make a stand. That was always God's plan. Yes, there must be order. That's why Paul addressed it. There was chaos going on in 1 Corinthians 12. He said it must be in order. But he also didn't now throw it out and say, okay, never pray in tongues. Let's just leave the Holy Spirit. He brought the order. He brought the teaching like I'm doing this morning. And he said, I thank God I pray in tongues more than all of you. I carry the fire. Hallelujah. Fan the flame. Jesus said in Matthew 5 verse 14 to 15, my time is up. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Mark 16 verse 16, go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. This is Jesus speaking. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. You've got to get baptized. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And I want you to see, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Are you with me? Jesus said it. You will speak with a new tongue. Korobo sitelera basatanda. What is that? That is a sign that I've been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Did you get this morning? Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, your light has come. Darkness is on the world, gross darkness is on the people, but God's glory will arise on you. Shine your light. Kings will come to the brightness of your rising. The city is ready. Are you ready this morning? All it takes is a contact point. All it takes is a spark. Amen. All it takes is a connection. You need to be on fire, but you need a contact point. We all need a contact point here this morning. Switch on the light. Now, if you're serious about this, listen to me now. Listen, we all need an infilling. We all have to be hungry to receive from God the fire. If that is you, maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never prayed in tongues. Some of you have prayed in tongues, but you're running on empty. So all of you, I want to give you the invitation. For all of you that want, I want you to please, right now, I want you to stand to your feet. You want an infilling of the Holy Spirit. You want God to touch you. Then please, stand to your feet. Thank you, the five of you. The rest of you, don't you want the fire? Come on, stand to your feet. You want the fire of God. You're hungry. Come on, if you're a leader, you should stand to your feet. I want you to close your eyes and raise your hands to heaven. Forget me, forget your neighbor. There's order here, so you can do this now. If you do this in the street, that's different. It's not going to work. But yeah, there's order. You're in the house of God. Close your eyes and raise your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we welcome you. We acknowledge you. I've done my best, Lord, this morning to teach for a contact point, for the spark to flow in the hearts of people here this morning. Every person, those who have already been baptized, those who have not yet been baptized, will you fill our church and set our hearts ablaze? Right now, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Let your wind fall and let your wind come. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, just pray softly and ask the Holy Spirit to just baptize you again. Come on, let's pray in the Holy Ghost. If you haven't been filled yet, ask the Holy Spirit to baptize you right now. This is your contact point with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Come on, this is the contact point this morning. Get switched on tonight. Switched on this morning. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. As we were gathered in the upper room. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit, and baptize your church like you did on the day of Pentecost. Refill those who've been running on empty. Touch those who have not been touched yet. Baptize your church with the fire, Jesus. Thank you. Move across this church tonight, this morning. Every person. Hallelujah. Come on, just keep on praying for a moment. This is church. Fill them in the name of Jesus. Fill the church. Hallelujah. Come on, keep on praying. Come on, focus on the King this morning. Come on, this is Pentecost. They were in one accord. Ask Him to touch you, fill you again. In the name of Jesus. Come on, just keep on praying in the Holy Ghost. Spirit yet today. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Baptize your church afresh in the name of Jesus. The pouring out of your Spirit. Hunger, hunger. Tarry. Tarry and hunger for the Holy Spirit. Burn out the chaff. Burn out the racism, the hatred, the bitterness. Flood the church with the wind of the fire of God this morning, not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Spirit. Rebrishatanda, burn out sickness and disease. Burn the enemy. Burn the works of Satan. Flood the church with the Holy Spirit this morning. Turn that cold Christian into an on fire Christian. In the name of Jesus, we prophesy fire and fire and fire in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going into winter. We all know winter time comes. We need to take vitamins because there's germs everywhere that want to come sit on us. It's almost like, it's not exactly the same. You know, the devil wants to sit on a cold Christian and infect you. Sickness breeds in cold environments. But a temperature that's hot and on fire. Pastor Annie taught us, a fly doesn't sit on a hot plate. Demonic activity cannot sit on an on fire Christian. It breeds, it grows, it festers in lukewarm, cold Christianity. A cold world needs a church, a Christian who's on fire. We pray in the Holy Ghost. We read the Word. And for some of you, this is new, but you know, you have to tarry. We're going to pray a lot. This coming Friday, we have half night prayer. Come. Just come. Come to the house. Be the conductor. Hallelujah. As we close the service, I want you to know God's fire is not a fire of hell. It's not a fire of judgment or pain. It's a pure fire that ignites, that stirs and heals. It empowers, refreshes. It's love, it's clean, it's truth. It's merciful, it's holy. Gets you to move. Firebrands that start a revolution that is rooted in love is what God wants. Not a revolution that's birthed out of hatred like we sometimes see in the world. Revolutions that are birthed out of hatred, revenge, and anger. No, God's revolution is for love, for everyone to be united in Christ, to be reconciled. I just want every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody moving around. As the temperature changes in this place, you're standing here today. God puts before us life and death, blessing and cursing. He says, choose life. It doesn't matter where you've come from, your background this morning. I want to give you an opportunity, like I did many years ago, to repent and to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. There's nothing neutral or passive about Christianity. If there's a stirring in your heart, and you know today that you are not in right standing with God, and you want to leave this place because God loves you, and that He poured out His wrath on His Son so you don't have to be judged or condemned or go to hell, but that the world through Christ can be saved. If that is you, then please, I want to pray with you. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer this morning. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Christians praying, believers praying. If that is you, boldly and unashamedly now, I want you to just indicate to me, say, Pastor, please, include me in that prayer. I want to leave this place knowing that I belong to Jesus. Come on, why don't you just slip up your hand. Thank you. God bless you. There's a stirring in your heart. It's the Holy Ghost. He's calling you. You may be of old age. It doesn't matter. God can restore those years. You can be a young person. Doesn't matter. All you have to do is put your pride aside and say, Jesus, I repent. Come on, once you raise your hand, allow me to pray with you and to lead you in that simple prayer. Thank you. God bless you up in the balcony, in the middle, on my right-hand side. Thank you. God bless you. Family, once you look at me, we're going to close the service. We've gone a little bit over time, but it's Pentecost and that's okay. Many of you here this morning have made that decision and I want to lead you in that prayer. This is the right environment to make a stand. I want you to please be bold, to be unashamed. If you've raised your hand, maybe you didn't raise your hand. Bring your personal belongings, make your way towards the nearest aisle and come and meet me here. I'm going to wait for you. Can we do that? Come on, let's cheer them on. Just come. There's more of you. Come.
And Holy Spirit fall.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
And Holy Spirit, have your way. Let your glory fall down. Let your glory fall down. Fall like rain. And Holy Spirit, fall.
We're going to wait for you. If you're up on the balcony, we'll wait for you to make your way. Come.
Holy Spirit,
Pentecost. So if you want to go, I'll come with you. Tonight, please. We're going to carry on with the service. Come tonight. That's right. Come, come, come. You know how long they waited in the upper room was 10 days. We want to do it like 30 minutes. Microwave, fast food, Christianity. Just come, 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 come. Sometimes we have to tarry. Just clap for a few more seconds. There's more. Come, I just know it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Thank you for coming out, every one of you this morning. You matter to God. You're important. I'm going to ask you to place your hand on your heart. Say this prayer with me. It's your prayer. I'm just leading you in it. Yes, amen. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, this morning, I repent of all my sins, and I acknowledge that I need a Savior. Wash me with your blood. Thank you for a new beginning. I receive your forgiveness right now. I believe that you are the Son of God. You came from heaven to die on a cross. You went to hell. You conquered the grave. And on the third day, the Father resurrected you. I put my trust in you from this day forward. Jesus Christ, be my Lord and be my Savior. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give them a hand.